Today's reading is taken from Romans chapter 8, verses 5 to 11. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what that nature desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit. If the Spirit of God lives in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, it's wonderful to be looking at these verses from Romans today. If you haven't got a Bible, you might want to pause the video now to get one so that we can follow together. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, at Pentecost, we remember you sending your Spirit on your people. May he be with us now as we come to your word. May we grow in our love and understanding of you for your name's sake. Amen. My school was very hot on its rules, and it had a point system. You got a minus for disobedience and a plus for obedience. And the totals were added up each week and announced at assembly. Without fail, there was one boy who had the worst minus total every week. Christopher Whitfield headed the table without fail. We could all do a good impression of the headmaster reading out Whitfield's name because we heard it so often, the same time every week. Year in, year out. In his time at school, at my school, the rules didn't change Whitfield's behaviour at all. All the rules did was to condemn him, to find him guilty, and to land him with weekly punishments. They condemned and they didn't bring about change. And the issues are the same with God's law. God's law is good, but it condemns. It finds us guilty, and it doesn't change people's hearts. What Paul tells us in the first 11 verses of this chapter of Romans is that Jesus deals with both of these problems. Last week, in the first few verses of this chapter, we saw how Jesus has dealt with the first of these problems, our condemnation, that guilty verdict which we get from the law. If we're trusting in him, he's dealt with the condemnation we deserve. Although we deserve the guilty verdict, Jesus died for us, paying the price for our sin. If we're trusting in Jesus, well, we're no longer condemned. He has done it all for us. But what about the problem of our need to change? Where does that leave us? Well, the law condemns, but it doesn't change. But how do I change? Well, that's the subject of today's passage. Our passage tells us that Jesus not only died for us, but he lives in us. And that changes us. He not only died for our sin, but he now lives in us and changes us. Verse 9 and 10 tell us, if you belong to Jesus, then the Holy Spirit lives in you. Have a look at those verses. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in your body, if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. What those verses are saying is if you belong to Jesus, then the Holy Spirit lives in you. We belong to Jesus if we are sorry for our sins and are trusting in him. And Paul says that if you belong to Jesus, if you're trusting in him, the Spirit of God lives in you. In fact, he then says the Spirit of Christ lives in you. And then he goes even further and says, Christ lives in you. So friends, Jesus died for you, but now he lives in you. God living in you is not like you living, say, with your parents or a parent. Even in lockdown, there are times when, although you live with them, you're doing something in a different room, maybe on a Zoom call with your mates. Parents live with you, but they don't always know what you're up to. And there's a world of difference between living with someone and having Jesus living in you. If you're a Christian, he's living in you during that Zoom call, when you're gaming, when you're lying in bed. Maybe you're in a house or flat alone at the moment. You may not have another human with you, but you have the Holy Spirit in you. You have Christ in you. He didn't just die for you, amazing though that is, but he came to live in you. Not to take up residence from time to time as though you were some kind of second home. No, to live in you permanently. If you belong to Jesus, then the Holy Spirit lives in you. Jesus lives in you. He's with you every hour of the day. You wake up with him. You spend your day with him. You go to bed with him. And you sleep with him living in you. Life as a Christian is never lived alone. Jesus died for you and he lives in you. What then has that got to do with change? Well, if you belong to Jesus, then the Holy Spirit controls or rules your deepest thoughts. If you like, he's in charge of your deepest thoughts. Now, taken the wrong way, that sounds freaky. The idea that another person might control my thoughts, well, it's slightly terrifying. Except that everyone's thoughts are controlled by something. The question is, what? And this is where I need help from my friend Fergus. You see, before Fergus was a Christian, he had a mind, and he also had a sinful nature, which was hostile to God. His nature was to be hostile to God and not to desire, not to want what God wanted. And we see that in verse 7, which says this: the sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. So before he was a Christian, Fergus had a mind and a sinful nature, and that sinful nature controlled his mind. It was in charge. He didn't want in his heart, or his mind, to live God's way. And that's what Paul is referring to in that first part of verse 5, which says, those who live according to the sinful nature have their mind set on what the nature desires. Fergus became a Christian. He put his trust in Jesus. And that means that Jesus not only died for Fergus, but lives in him. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus, now controls Fergus's mind. The Holy Spirit is now in charge. And that means in his deepest desires, he wants what God wants. Look at the second part of verse 5. Those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. There'll be times when Fergus will not only obey the law, but he will do so because he desires to at the deepest level. It's been wonderful to hear of so many people at St. Mary's helping other people during this crisis, buying and delivering food, giving people a call, picking up prescriptions. People are doing great things. They're obeying God's law. They're loving their neighbour. They're loving one another. And they're not doing those things for their own satisfaction or because they want to impress others, but they're doing them because they want to do what the Spirit wants, what God desires. And they want to do what the Spirit wants because they have the Spirit living in them. Keeping God's law is not about performing some outward act. It is about doing something because you want to do what God wants. An outward act is no good if your heart is not in it for God. It's the Spirit who changes our minds. He enables us to want what God wants. But let's be clear. Fergus, you and I haven't stopped having a sinful nature. That sinful nature goes on battling for control of the mind. And at times I won't follow my deepest desire to do what God wants, and I will do the wrong thing that I don't want to do. But when you get it wrong, when you're filled with regret and are sorry before God, because you know you just did something which he didn't want you to do. Remember this. The only reason you are filled with regret and are sorry before God is because the Spirit lives in you. His Spirit lives in you, and he controls your mind. He controls your deepest thoughts and desires. One of my daughters said that when she gets into an argument with her sisters, she often knows what she called the Jesus thing to do, deep down, but she doesn't do it. If you can relate to that, be sorry before God, but be reassured. The reason why you know deep down what you should do, the reason why you're sorry, is because the Spirit of God is in you, controlling your thoughts. If you're living by yourself at the moment, perhaps you've started days with great intentions and have looked back with sorrow. Maybe you started out wanting to ring and encourage someone else. Maybe you planned to read the Bible. Maybe you resolved not to have one too many drinks. Maybe you plan to use your time well. Perhaps you find yourself at the end of the day looking back, knowing deep down what God wanted to do with you, but having failed to do it. Be reassured. Your deepest thoughts, your desire to do what God wants, your regret when you fail, stems from the fact that he is living in you. And that brings me to my final point. If you belong to Jesus, the Holy Spirit gives you life. Paul tells us in verse 10 that because we continue to have a sinful nature, our bodies will die. Perhaps you're particularly struggling with frailty and your own mortality at the moment. Verse 11 tells us wonderfully that the very Holy Spirit who lives in you and me is the very same Holy Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead. And the wonderful news is that he will one day give us new resurrection bodies. And that will be a wonderful day, because we will no longer struggle with our sinful nature, but will be with God forever. And we'll be with him forever, only desiring what he wants. Mark Ashton wrote a short book in the last few months of his life. He'd been diagnosed with cancer, and no treatment options were available. He wrote this: "My death forces me to face the resurrection of Jesus. No longer is it a bald fact of history for me, it's of crucial significance. It's crucial significance for every person who faces their own death honestly. Until I am dead, I cannot know what will happen to me after my death. But Jesus has already risen. If I know him now, I will know him then. He is my assurance in dying, and his resurrection is central to Christianity." Mark knew that the death he faced was the death we all face because of our sinful nature. But he also knew that because he trusted Jesus, because he belonged to him, then the same Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead lived in him, and so he too would rise from the dead with a new resurrection body. If you're trusting in Jesus, be encouraged. Be reassured this week. Jesus died for you so that you are no longer condemned. He lives in you. His Spirit lives in you, controlling your mind, bringing about the change the law was powerless to do. And by his Spirit, he will give life to your decaying mortal body. If you do not consider, though, that you belong to Jesus, then he's not controlling your mind. And the question I want to leave you with is, who is controlling your mind? What is your deepest desire? Our passage is challenging. Verse 6 says this: "The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace." If you do not belong to Jesus, you are not trusting in his death for you. You don't have him living in you, and your frail mortal body won't one day be given life by him. What he offers you changes everything. Why not choose now to trust him with your life? Let's pray. Our great Father, we thank you that Jesus died for us. We thank you that he lives in us, and we praise you for the hope he gives us, that we will rise with new resurrection bodies to be with you forever. Amen.